first Midwest Bank State Street studio. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, the new home of the Chicago White Sox. ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Shout out to everyone who watches us every day here inside the First Midwest Bank studio on Twitch. It's available every day for all our local shows. Cap and Jay Hood, Carmen and Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie, Black and Abdallah. All the other shows, too, on the weekends.
Good to have Abdallah back. He's been gone for a while.
It's great. I've missed Abdallah.
Welcome back.
It's good to have the entire crew together.
Yeah, you will. Hi, friends.
It's been entertaining inside the Twitch room today. We've had a big crew because of the breaking news yet again. And if you don't want to watch the show, of course, three easy ways to listen. ESPN 1000. If you don't want to watch it, you just look, we're radio guys. You know what I mean? I mean, you can watch us on my little camera.
Like you say, like, if you can't watch us because you don't want to watch us, yeah, you think we're ugly and then we scare you.
We are a radio show. So,
television.
There's a television
camera in there.
So, how about, like, take two. Look, if you don't have the means to put all your attention into watching the show, there are three easy ways to listen. Okay. There's ESPN 1000, that's AM 1000. We've been there for over two decades. We're now available on the FM side. That's 100.3 HD2. And you could always download that ESPN Chicago app. Like, for instance, the Anthony Rizzo interview today was awesome. If you missed the interview with Cap and Jay Hood, download the ESPN Chicago app, go to the Cap and Hoodie page, and boom, right there on demand is the Anthony Rizzo interview.
Take that.
So, and we were talking about that earlier, then the Bulls breaking news happened, and the Bulls acquire DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is 31 years old. He is a guy who's been super consistent over the last 5 years. He doesn't take a lot of threes. He doesn't make a lot of threes. He slashes. He has a good mid-range game. He scores anywhere between 20 and 23 points per game these days. He can shoot from a high percentage. You know, a lot of these guys who do shoot like 38, 39, 40% from the field or from the three usually shoot like 42% overall. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's the opposite. This guy doesn't shoot well from three, DeMar DeRozan, but he's like a 48% shooter. He's going to get his, and he's going to get to the foul line, as Bleck pointed out.
Did you know that he and Vooch were teammates at USC?
I did not know
Fight
that.
On.
There you go.
So a little factoid for you.
They played together before. And today is a day, after Lonzo Ball yesterday, DeMar DeRozan today, is the most excited I've been about the Bulls since 2015. It was since they were up 2-1, Game 3, United Center, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol. I think Gasol got hurt in that series, and I thought they were going to slay LeBron, and they didn't. And then it's been basketball hell since then. It's been firing coaches. It's been hiring the wrong coaches. It's been selling good players. It's been countless draft picks who have not panned out. And we have finally gotten a change of management just over a year ago, about 16, 18 months ago. And Michael Reinsdorf and Arturis Karnišević and Mark Eversley, I got to give them props because I sure enough beat the Bulls up when they deserved it. They've gone for it. They've spent a lot of cash here in this free agent period. They've done it in sign-and-trade fashion so that they could afford everybody because they are above the cap right now. They hired the right coach. They took Jim Boylan out to the garbage where he was supposed to be. And they've acquired now a really good team. And again, my headline is, I've said this to Waddle, I've said this to Wilbon, right now, they could be a 4 seed, they could be a 5 seed, they could be a 6 seed. They're definitely a playoff team. But the reason I am the most optimistic is with some of their best players, they are still growing. They are still getting better. I don't believe that Zach LaVine has played his best basketball yet. Patrick Williams, He's just scratched the surface. Alonzo Ball has continued to get better after a disappointing start to his career. And now I think he feels comfortable what he is as a basketball player. He's improved his free throw shooting and three-point shooting. And you add to that two constant all-stars in DeRozan, who scores 20 a game, and Vucevic, who scores 20 a game. 30 and 32 years old. Not over the hill. Experienced, offensive-minded. They're going to get theirs. They mesh well with Patrick Williams and Lonzo Ball, who are both defensive-minded players, who are really good, long, and athletic, and they can defend. And then Zach could maybe, as I've said today, the pressure is now on Zach. We've heard many times, Zach doesn't win. Zach's not a true one. Now we can see with a really good supporting cast around him, can Zach LaVine show you that he is a true NBA one? I think we're going to find out in the year that he becomes a free agent.
And I think big picture is where, I mean, I'm most excited. I'm excited to watch them as well because they'll be a playoff team and it'll make Bulls basketball fun again. And I agree with everything you just said. But big picture, two other major concepts. A, it feels like this is becoming a more desirable destination. And they have done a really nice job putting together a good team. Maybe a team that doesn't stack up against a healthy Nets team at the moment. But they've put together a good team with the ability, the flexibility to move some things around and possibly take advantage of a disgruntled superstar that wants out in the future.
Right, right. Because they have still have pieces and salary to match up with other, like say Damian Lillard does want out in a year. You know, maybe Lonzo Ball is a really good year.
Yeah.
And in order to do it, they need Patrick Williams and Lonzo Ball in return. And now you have the means to do it, and then you get a big three and Damian
Lillard. Yourself options.
Like, you have options. You have absolutely options. And this year, there wasn't the big ticket item. Kawhi's hurt, and he's probably going to re-up with the Clippers anyway. It was probably just a formality that he opted out, and he's probably going to re-sign there. But, I think there are a lot of good things with this Bulls team. They did make it a sign and trade with DeMar DeRozan today. They gave up Thaddeus Young. They gave up a future first round pick, we think, in 2025, according to Casey Johnson.
I believe that's the earliest that they can actually send a first round pick to San Antonio, if in fact KC is right. I assume he is.
And two second rounders. Michael Wilbon's very concerned that Lauri Markkanen's still on the roster. He's a current cap hold with the restricted free agent tender. He could go out shopping and still sign a deal. Then the Bulls could choose to not sign him, and he leaves via, quote, free agency. But as Mark Schanowski pointed out, and Mark's a very good NBA guy, there's not a lot of money left after this first wave. Maybe Lowry says to himself, hey, I'll come back. I'll sign the one-year tender. I'll play for you for 1 year, and I'll become an unrestricted free agent next year. Maybe AK still has a plan where he's going to use him in another sign and trade to get another piece on this team. This guy is going for it. He traded for Vucevic at the trade deadline. Yeah. He traded for Lonzo Ball. He didn't stop there. He surprised everyone with the Caruso signing. They love him in L.A. The fans loved him and the players loved him. He was just expensive and they couldn't afford him anymore. So they get a tough-minded guy in Caruso. They're not done there. And they go out and they get DeRozan, and I really, it's a fun team. It's still a team with room to grow.
You have options.
And I think basketball is back now in the city of Chicago, finally.
I think they've built a nice team.
Someone asked me this on Twitter, and the phone number to reach us, you want to react to the Bulls news, 332-3776. If Cubs and Sox are still in your mind, we'll talk to Len Casper at 5:30. I asked this to Waddle earlier, guys, before I get to the calls. Do you guys know who Schwindel is? Or Schwindel?
I'm guessing a Cubs player.
Yes, very good.
Well done, Chris.
If you would have asked me before I saw the lineup, I would have said no.
I didn't see the lineup, but names that I have no clue, any reference point to, I'm just guessing just random farm system dudes who are up with the team.
Cub or not a Cub.
Cub or not a Cub. Tomorrow we could do that, or Thursday. Cub or not a Cub.
It's gentleman's agreement. We're not going to scour the Cubs roster. We're going to play
gentleman's agreement. Listen, yeah, gentleman's you think agreement. Abdallah and I care?
Don't you want to play?
I think we're going to play the game. I'm saying, you think we're going to go roster? Look up farm system dudes for the Cubs and who's coming up, getting the call up from
AAA? Everybody wants to be right in life, don't they? You know, they want to win something?
I'll play your game. Anthony Rizzo. Not
this,
a Cub.
This guy sounds like he's my insurance agent. His name is Frank Schwindel.
I don't want anyone whose name sounds anything like a swindle to be my insurance guy.
Maybe it's Swindle. Is it Frank Schwindel? Frank Schwindel? He is a 29-year-old first baseman designated hitter with a career WAR of -0.3. So he is below replacement level player, and he is playing first base for the Cubs tonight, and I believe he's hitting fifth or sixth. Maybe six or seven.
How many are we expecting tonight? 37,000, 38,000?
Where are they tonight? I
thought they were home. Maybe not. I gave up thinking, worrying about them. I don't know. Nor do I, to be honest with you. It's kind of meaningless now.
They're in Colorado tonight. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
One would think this is a professional radio station. However,
you would know that you know, no, you wouldn't know. No. Maybe 37,000 still are showing up in Wrigley.
Well, I think they will. I mean, a lot of those tickets are sold.
They're passing out weed at the game? It's the only way you're getting many people at that game.
312-332-3776. Tom in Oakland, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
I thought this was Waddle and Sylvie, not Waddle and Sea Red Fred. So, I mean, I'm just...
I'm optimistic. Everyone always says, Tom, Sylvie, you're so negative. Sylvie, all you do is whine. I'm finally excited about my basketball team, and now I get crap thrown in my face.
Do your best Sea Red Fred with the Leviathan crap thing, too. Do that. See, can you do that? Can you do a Sea Red Fred imitation?
You want Tom or me?
You.
All right. How about you? What is he always?
Shelby!
The seventh banner is coming! Yeah. DeMar DeRozan, disrespected by Toronto, disrespected by Greg Popovich. He's coming to Chicago and he's going to team up with... I can't even
do all of them. Yeah.
Okay, I'm stuttering like crazy. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, and my thing is, too, like, before we start, you know, claiming about, the Bulls are back and such, I mean, yeah. They have a really nice team that can probably be like a fifth seed, sixth seed in the playoffs and such. But they've been there before. They were there when they had the try-hard Bulls, and it was Pax and Gar. I mean, this it just seems like the same kind of thing. Only instead of it being Pax and Gar, it's AK and such.
They've taken your patience away from you, haven't they?
Pretty much. Yeah. But you know what? I'm a Chicago sports fan, Waddle, so I'm in show me mode for all of my teams.
That's fair.
So,
that's fair.
Now your White Sox, though, they're showing you.
No, I mean, I still want them to win. I still want them to beat, you know, teams with higher records. And this August, they're going up against, you know, top teams, lost to the series.
So
they got the Royals coming up. They got the Yankees coming up.
Sure.
So,
Tom, you know when it's important to beat the teams with the winning records?
Postseason, Tom.
October.
Yeah. Come on, Tom.
That's when you
know. Come on,
Tom. It's summer. The weather's nice.
You and your kid are going to places. You saw us the other day. I saw you at the White Sox game. I mean, smile. Come on, Tom.
I will smile when the Sox sweep the Cubs this series. How about
that? Tom again?
All right, Tom. Thank you. 332-3776. Again, I don't believe that this is a team with a ceiling because I believe some of their best players are still getting better. 332-3776. I believe there's still room for AK to make their move. 332-3776, plus Len Casper talks White Sox at 5:30.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Someone asked me the question on Twitter. He said, in the next 5 years, and we have a poll question up asking about the next team besides the White Sox to make the postseason. Most are voting for the Bulls. The Bears are second. So a listener tweeted me, and he said, in the next 5 years, you have to bet all your money big, large sum of money on either the Bears winning the Super Bowl or the Bulls winning the title. 5 years. Which team would you make the wager on? You must make the wager.
Damn. I'm going to be homeless either way.
Don't you have to believe in Justin Fields and say that in 5 years, he's going to be a star, Aaron Rodgers out of football or the division, and the Bears could do it? Yes? I mean, I love the moves the Bulls are. I don't know if they can win a title, but aren't you banking on the greatness that could be of Justin Fields? I've stumped you. This is a radio show. Words help.
You guys are awful. You guys are awful today. I'm thinking. I'm trying to. Do you want me to just like blurt out nonsense? Let me give you some well thought out nonsense.
What we do for
probably
4 hours.
The first time.
Yeah.
I would blurt probably go with the Bulls.
You would?
Yeah, probably.
Where would you guys go? Black Abdallah? For next 5 years, win a championship, Bears or Bulls. You must play one. Boy, a lot of stumping going on.
I'll go with the...
Every now and again, your silence is like, golden. We could just continue to yap. Every now and again, a little pause. And
yeah,
a little,
we're just having a little,
silence. Actually,
Tuesday
it's good,
afternoon.
Good for the soul.
Early evening
just
thought.
This Tuesday afternoon at 5:21. Just take a second for yourself.
This isn't a take factory.
This is not how you meditate. Headspace.
This is yapping.
Just here. Give it a second.
Wow, just...
Booyah!
Just give it a second. Probably the... Bulls.
Bulls, okay. Yeah. So we have 2 votes for the Bulls, 1 vote for the Bears.
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys this. I'm going to go Bears because... I feel like there's more in a team's way in the NBA and fewer options to actually acquire said title, where I get that a football team has more moving pieces, but a larger collection of random football teams have won championships over time than the few teams that usually win NBA titles.
Okay. So 2-2.
Don't you ask for the thoughts.
I know. It was good.
I fell asleep. I mean, what'd you say?
All right.
I was relaxing.
Mano was in headspace land.
I was relaxing.
He was on the call map. Matt Noakbrook, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
So, Silva, you explained so eloquently why today was such a big deal. People who are listening, I would say have no idea who DeMar DeRozan is. Have no idea how good Vucevic is. Have no idea how well this is all put together and how these guys help each other. It's not just Dwayne Wade and Rondo. These are actually players who can help each other and win. So I just want to congratulate you on saying, you know, how eloquently you said that. And people should listen to that before they call up and say stupid things.
Finally, Matt, in 14 years of this show, I finally said something that's been described as eloquent. Never has anything I said been described as eloquent. Thank you. I appreciate that. That was my brother, Matt.
Let it sink in. Like, you don't just keep yapping. Let it sink in.
Meantime,
Reflect.
I've got someone calling in and saying that I'm C-Red Fred. I'll waddle in C-Red Fred. Kevin in Homewood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kev?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. And I called in the Black and Abdallah yesterday because the question was, where do you think the Bulls are now? And that was before DeRozan. And I would say, you know, 6th or 7th seed, but they got DeRozan. I think that puts them around 4 or so. But they still got to make some more moves. And I was looking at free agents, and we lost, Thaddeus Young? He had all the triple-doubles. So I think if we could pick up, like, a Paul Millsap or maybe, like, a Hassan Whiteside to round out the front court a little bit, I think that puts us in a little bit better shape. But, we got some gifts being in the Eastern Conference. And if the Milwaukee Bucks can win the championship, we could be right there in the 2nd or 3rd seed with the Knicks and Hawks and them, I think.
So, yeah.
And look, a lot of that depends, too, on Zach taking another step. It's what we all want to see. Bleck has wanted to see it for a while. Friedel has wanted to see it. We want to see it. We're very bullish on Zach, but now we need to see it. Now
comes
we need
the right
to see
time, too.
Be a winning basketball player. And in order for the Bucks to win it all, Giannis played some of the best basketball. In order for a one-star team to win an NBA championship, he had to do some of the most special things we've ever seen, and that was against a team that not a lot of people thought would even be in the NBA Finals. So it's very hard, but I like the direction, and I do believe that here some of the value shopping will happen days three, day four, and there will be good deals to be had, and I believe there are still things that AK's working right now.
Your basketball soulmate, C-Red Fred, has tweeted at you, "I think it's obvious that at Waddle and Sylvie has hit his radio prime. I can't wait to embrace him at Grant Park in 2023.
Oh, he's got them winning it all in
yeah.
a year.
Yeah.
Not this
He's
upcoming.
Not only got them winning, he's got himself in a man hug with you.
Okay, well, I do that. I had a good hug with Braggs the other day when he took off his shirt and he was wearing his tank top and he embraced.
Was it a good hug?
Yeah, look, every hug these days that we're able to hug is a good hug, okay. Don't you think?
I do,
no,
yeah.
No,
yeah, I'm fine
no,
with
you're
them.
Not
yeah.
buying the hugs?
No, I will hug anybody.
And you know me, traditionally I'm not a huggy guy.
That's why I asked.
Corey in Homewood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're good. Great.
Good, good. Hey, man, I am very stoked about this coming up season, man. I think this next year, Chicago Bulls is going to be this year's Phoenix Suns. We still got to round out the roster a little bit. But we also picked up the one draft pick we picked up last year that's signing with the Bulls to come over this season, I think.
Right. Yes.
And no one is talking about him. So when he comes over, that's going to have a big impact on our season as well. So the big key to me is going to be Patrick Williams this year, man. If his development comes around, I think we're going to be solid, very solid. So, guys, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I appreciate it.
Yeah, look, if he becomes the player that people think he can become, then it really, truly does become the sky's the limit for the Bulls.
Amen, bro.
If Zach takes a step and then Patrick Williams takes a couple of steps, now we're talking with Constance of DeRozan and with Vooch and with Ball doing what he does at point guard.
Feels like it's a good environment, too, for him to develop. So I'm excited as much as I'm excited about watching him play as much as any of the guys.
Joe in Orland, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Not too much. So my question is not just in the next 5 years, but 5 to 10 years from now, who do you have more trust in? Rick Hahn keeping the White Sox together? Or AK, you know, he's kind of already done it. He's aggressive, you know, to keep this Bulls going and get those superstars.
Boy, that's a long time out. I mean, I give Rick Hahn the benefit of the doubt. I think he's riding high right now.
He rebuilt that team.
Yes.
And as soon as he took leadership role is when that team really started to flourish.
Yeah.
I think
you may be able to point out, you know, baseball guys may be able to point out a better situation that's been created by someone, but I think Rick Hahn is definitely in the team photo of best baseball architects for the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, and he's gone for it, right? He hasn't been scared. Always, they're going to be scared to make a deal with the Cubs. The White Sox don't deal with the Cubs. They've made what now? Three important deals with the Cubs?
And Lord knows how much real, true flexibility he's been given from a payroll situation. I'm sure he'd tell you he's got some, but like he's probably not. He's not dealing with the same lack of constraints, you know, that the Dodgers have.
They don't spend even like the Cubs spend,
right?
You know, and that's what the sort of underlying thing here is. Everyone's been ripping the Cubs. The White Sox have put together a team for really less payroll than what the Cubs had when they were winning.
Yes.
Jason in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And excellent seeing what the Bulls are doing. It's really fun to see them spending some money and putting that team together. Excited about that. But I just wanted to point out, too, with the Bucks winning the championship this year, as much as I love to see it, you got to say that they were definitely helped out by some injuries on other teams.
Of course, they always are.
I think you could look at the Suns and say, you know, they were helped out by the Lakers' injuries, weren't they?
The Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks would not have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, all three of the four teams were helped by injuries.
Yes.
Getting to where they were getting. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number. We're going to talk to Len Casper. He's been doing TV as well. Connor McKnight's been doing radio. I believe Meller's got the pregame show today.
He does.
In an hour from right now. You'll get Bleck and Abdallah for a half hour. But we'll talk to Len. Aloy is back. Can they keep him healthy? And still some questions about this team. We'll ask them to Len coming up next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
All right, White Sox baseball is back. You had a little baseball break, at least locally, yesterday. Sox and Royals. Then the Cubs-Sox series this weekend. Aloy is back in the lineup tonight. Len Casper is in the television booth. Connor McKnight will be doing your radio play-by-play. Jeff Meller has your pregame show in 55 minutes from right now. We talk to Len Casper, the voice of the White Sox, each and every week. And he is proudly brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. Len, how you doing? And how do you think the White Sox did at the trade deadline?
Hey, guys. I think they did very well. You know, the Kimbrel part of it was the last piece, and it was, I think, the most unexpected acquisition. I didn't expect the Cubs and Sox to make multiple deals, and so once they acquired Ryan Tepera, you kind of assumed that was probably it for the bullpen, and then they go out and they get the best closer statistically in the game. So I think it's an A-plus from that standpoint. I think Cesar Hernandez is an everyday second baseman. He kind of has lineup versatility because he gets on base. He can hit for power. He's a switch hitter. And you have both Kimbrel and Hernandez under contractual control through next year. And that's why they were able to trade Nick Madrigal as part of that Kimbrel deal, is they knew they had Hernandez for next year as well.
Len, you lead me right into the Toyota Let's Go Places question of the day. Usually it's later, but I wanted to ask you about this anyway. No one would know this more than you, since you've been a broadcaster on both sides of town. There are some people in this town who are itchy over Cubs and Sox making deals. They say the Yankees and Mets don't make deals. They don't like in the city. If one team gets a good trade and the other gets a bad trade, it's even worse PR for that front office. The Cubs and Sox have now made three pretty high-profile deals in the last few years. What is your philosophy overall on the Cubs and Sox coming together and making deals?
I think both Rick Hahn and Jed Hoyer said it. You know, you only have 29 other trade partners. Why would you make it 28? You have to do what's in the best interest of your organization and your big league team. And to not include a club that is a potential trade partner, to me, is bad business. And I know there's a public relations aspect to it after these deals are made. But the bottom line is you're trying to win. And if the other team in town can help you win, whether it's short term with a buy trade or long term in a sell trade, I think you owe it to your owner, your front office, your clubhouse, your fans, to make those deals when they come about.
And Len, speaking of that other team in town, how surprised were you to see ultimately what transpired?
Well, you know, Friday was nuts. I mean,
I did a
Fox game Saturday night with Tom Verducci, who follows this stuff closely, and he still hadn't kind of put in his head what different teams' lineups were going to look like. With, you know, Chris Bryant to the Giants and Baez to the Mets and Rizzo to the Yankees and Kimbrel to the White Sox. And I think once Jed Hoyer started making deals for veteran guys on the team, he figured why stop, and you might as well keep going. And the bottom line is, because of the compensation with a qualifying offer, you know, they would have picked, what, 72nd, 73rd in the draft. So if you make a deal with 2 months to go, the bottom line is you just kind of have to get a player back that might beat that 70-whatever pick. And I think he did what he had to do. And on a personal level, I'm really glad that Jed traded Chris Bryant. He was the last guy to get traded. And I think everybody knew he was not going to come back next year. But to have him have the opportunity to go to a club that has a chance in the Giants for a deep October run, I think was nice to see on a personal note for Chris.
Len, we have argued internally here within these walls of the First Midwest Bank studio over Nick Madrigal for a year and a half now, what he is, what he can be. What do you think he will be for the Cubs, and do you believe the White Sox will miss him?
Yeah, I do. You know, there's a solid nature to his offensive game because of the contact that gives him, I think, a higher floor than a lot of other prospecty type guys who've had only, you know, 300 plate appearances at the big league level. I think there is probably a cap on his offensive production potential in that while he might hit for a little more extra base hit power, you know, he's probably not going to slug even, you know, 430, 440. So if you could get a guy who could hit 320, 330 every year and get on base at a 370 clip and probably have a slugging percentage that's around that, that's a very valuable guy to have in your lineup on a daily basis. Nico Hoerner, interestingly enough, is kind of the same profile. So I think the idea for the Cubs moving forward is to have at least two contact guys in your lineup who rarely strike out. And then if you go out and you get middle of the order hitters who do strike out, you at least feel like you have a little bit more of a dynamic nature to your group. Nick's a great guy. I think he's a guy who definitely can start every day. And the fact that you've seen him hit at this level, I think, should give you comfort as a Cub fan that he can hit big league pitching.
Len, how would you describe what you've seen from Carlos Rodon the last couple of starts? And do you believe Tony will give him some extra rest?
I think he's going to start game two this weekend against the Cubs, and that will be about a 9-day rest, I believe, since the last time he pitched in Kansas City. He looks to me like he has a dead arm. The last two starts, his first fastball was around 90 miles an hour, and I think in both starts on the last road trip, he hit 97, but it wasn't until the fourth inning, and he had already given up multiple runs. That's too late, right? His best stuff showed up after he was already behind in the game. But there's no indication that there's any sort of injury or any underlying issues other than something most pitchers go through at some point in the season. Even when he's at his best, guys, he'll be 92-93 in the first and 98-99 by the eighth or ninth. So that is not unusual for Rodon. He admits that it does take him until maybe mid-game on occasion to get his top velocity. But, you know, DJ mentioned it the other night. There's a big difference between 90 and 93. And if you start at 90 and you throw one in a place where 93 you might be able to get away with it, or 95 you might be able to get away with it, 91, 92 doesn't. And that's why he's been hurt the last two starts.
So what do you do about it?
Give him extra rest, which they're doing. And after this next start, I believe with an off day a week from Friday, he probably gets even a little extra rest for his next start. So I could see his August essentially pitching on normal rest once or maybe not at all. And then if you wanted to skip him, if all of a sudden you've got a 12-game lead in the division, I think that gives you an opportunity maybe to keep a closer watch on Rodon to make sure that he's at his best when the games matter the most.
You know, last week we were debating Aloy and what to do when he plays left field because you got to get other guys off their feet. Now that he suffered, you know, a little bit of a groin strain and missed some time, he's coming back tonight in the DH role. Are you a little more hesitant to put him back out in left field?
I don't think he'll play there every day, even when he's 100% and you feel like you don't have to have any restrictions. I could see him playing two or three days out there in left, and he and Vaughn kind of, you know, flip-flop with the DH spot. Vaughn can play first, And by the way, he's still taking ground balls at second. So, you know, that was a kind of an emergency spot last Thursday.
Crazy.
But I think they at least feel like in an emergency, if you needed him late in a game to play second, he could do that. I just think, Sylvie, the defensive versatility on this club makes an Eloy Jimenez fit here because basically he's left in DH. But so many guys can do other things that I think Tony will make it work. The most interesting thing for me is when Robert and Lamb are back, and then Yasmani Grandal might not be far behind those guys. Now you have really good problems in that you've got 28 or 29 big league players, and you only have a 26-man roster. So they're going to have to make some very tough decisions soon.
And they like Sebi, don't they? I mean, he had the three home run game, and they love the way he handles the pitchers.
Yeah, I would not expect, I mean, I could be wrong, I would not expect another three-homer game this week from Sebi.
Right.
But the pitching staff has raved about his work behind the plate, and that's not unimportant. And you'll hear Tony on the pregame with me tonight talk about how, you know, they still believe in Zach Collins. Tonight, Sebi's in there only because Chris Bubich, the left-hander, is pitching for the Royals. But Sebi has, you know, earned a lot of playing time on merit, and that's the way it's gone here with Tony. And I think his players appreciate that. You hit three home runs, you're probably going to be in the lineup the next day.
All right, I wanted to ask you about Tony La Russa's 40 time.
40s are not important. 20s. It's
the answer is,
yeah.
The answer is 40, right?
Yeah.
He's got a bad hip, so give him a break.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I mean, they got to stop throwing at Abreu, though. That's not fun. Great stuff. We'll be watching you on TV. We'll be listening to Connor on the radio with Meller. Great work, as always. We appreciate your time, Len.
Thanks, Len.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you next week.
There you go. Len Casper, brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. They are absolutely awesome, and they bring you Len Casper each and every week. Let's go places. All right, we go to a place where Waddle says he can be an Olympian. Wait till you hear this coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Much more on the DeMar DeRozan sign-in trade. Bulls sending a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks, and Thaddeus Young to San Antonio for DeMar DeRozan, who signs a 3-year, $85 million deal with the Bulls.
It's a lot of cash.
It is a lot of money. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Abdallah is back. Black and Abdallah coming up at 6 o'clock.
Speaking of a lot of cash.
We had a great conversation in the IDOT bullpen in the pre-show fist fight. And a reminder, IDOT tells you to start seeing motorcycles, all right? This is up to us as well. Motorcycle safety is everyone's responsibility. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. This, I don't know how it started. Someone brought up the idea of an Olympics to watch for would be where you get drafted, like jury duty, and like you don't actually make your Olympic team every year. Like they send out like a jury notice saying, hey, you are this year's 100 meter hurdle participant.
Yeah, so I saw it on Twitter. Someone tweeted it out. I don't remember who it was, so apologies to them if it gets back, which it won't. Is the imagine that the Olympics, like you said, were like a lottery or like jury duty, essentially, where you just all of a sudden, we all had to do it at some point, but you get an email or you get a letter in the mail that was like, hey, guess what, Mark Silverman? You've been picked for hurdles this year.
No
report
chance.
To Japan in 4 months.
I could clear one hurdle.
I don't think I could either. You got
you
4 months
to
train,
go.
And you got to get your ass to Japan.
I'd be going around it instead of running through
and
it.
You have to, or like Waddle. Hey, guess what, Waddle? You're a high diver. You're a high divist.
And then that got to Waddle saying that Waddle said he believes he can be a good diver on the smaller diving board, the spring diving board. What was it, a 1 meter diving board or something?
Waddle asked the question, which event do you all think that you could actually perform the highest level at and something that you wouldn't totally, completely, and fully embarrass yourself?
Did you just go third person too?
Yes, because you were telling me what I was just saying. Like, and my statement was that me personally, I'll answer first, was I think if you gave me the springboard diving, I could, at the very least, I wouldn't be a complete wreck.
And I said to you, do you think you can do one flip?
I can do two flips on the springboard.
Now, give me a break.
How can you?
You can do in one dive. You can flip twice.
When I was a kid, I did it. Do you think he can do it? I think I'd be more capable of. I could definitely do a one and a half on it.
Okay,
on
but
a,
anybody
on a springboard.
Can jump and do a flip or do two flips.
I don't know.
This is an Olympic event. You got to land. You got to go head first into the water with no splash. This is an Olympic.
It's the jury duty Olympics.
Well, no, that's my point. Is that you're representing America?
Well, okay. Here's the deal. This is my point. If you gave me the pole vault to do. It's done. I'm like I will hurt myself, and I probably couldn't propel myself over something that was my height. It's 6 foot tall.
That would be, if you could do anything, wouldn't that be the most fun if you could do it correctly?
No. Why?
What do you mean? You vault yourself into the air. That's pretty cool.
No, I have no desire to do that.
You're basically flying.
No, you're not flying.
Well, yeah, you're flying.
No, what if the pole snaps and cracks you right in the junk?
That's a danger you have to live with.
All right. So I'm telling you that I'm most equipped, I think, no running. I could probably do my best performance would probably be on the springboard.
Long jump? Could you long jump?
I was a long jumper in junior high.
Okay, so there you go. Your body knows
I'm
the mechanics.
I'm telling you, my performance would probably be I could reach the highest height in the springboard dive.
Well, Bleck thinks you can run, and you can't run.
No, I can't run.
I don't think you can do two flips. I don't think if we went to a diving board where we were at a pool that you could execute a two-flip dive.
Well, I'd have to get into you. How many days did you tell me?
You got 4 months.
I got 4 months.
Okay, in 4 months.
Yes.
I don't think you could do that now.
Well, golf is a sport in the Olympics, right?
I could do a one and a half with a decent splash.
What about
now?
The triple Lindy?
No, I can't do that. That's off the high dive. I'm talking springboard. I'm not going high dive. I'm telling you, I can do one and a half.
Do you know what a triple Lindy is?
It's just,
triple Lindy is
when you it's that's from Back to School.
Yeah,
it's an old nothing. Movie reference, and I never make movie references.
Yeah, it's a good movie though.
It's all I remember is Rodney Dangerfield making the fart sound out of
his
armpit.
Yeah, that's how he started it. But the triple Lindy, he's off the high board, and then he hits the springboard, and then like
he hit all the different boards.
Yes,
it was.
Which one do you feel like you could perform best at? Fencing?
I could be on the basketball team. He'd be the seventh man. Not the sixth man, the seventh man. Come in, little energy, be a Caruso-type player.
Bring a little energy.
Little energy is right. Energy? Little energy.
Do you remember the old video games? And I'm talking about like our age video games where you had to tap the button super fast to run.
Yeah.
And then you would get all, you'd get so many cramps from trying to go so fast. Wasn't it called track and field?
I think so, yeah.
Oh,
so you think you would be most equipped to be the seventh man on the men's basketball
team? That's it. That's all I can do. I mean, run what? Can't do any of the other stuff.
I thought you were pretty fast.
I can run.
Okay, well, that's what you should do then. Not play basketball. Why wouldn't you choose a running event?
I don't know. Bleck and Abdallah coming up next. More on the DeMar DeRozan trade. White Sox baseball. Jeff Miller's got your pregame show at 6:30. Connor McKnight's got the play-by-play. Thank you to Mike Wilbon, which was a pleasant surprise today. He was
damn Larry Markkinen.
And Len Casper as well. Thank you, Bleck and Abdallah. They're up in 2 short minutes for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night. It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'll give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
thank you to all and to all a good night.